Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text this morning, God issues a warning to the Israelites. Start over at the beginning. God desires to be your teacher, and God desires to be the teacher of your children. God has always desired to be his people's teacher. The first word of our sermon text today is an imperative. It is a command. A command to listen and to hear. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your might. Listen to what God's saying here. This is not a suggestion. This is not a if you so please, or if you think about it, or if you'd like. This is a command. Listen, Israel. The Lord your God is one. God knows. I mean, God knows that we hear things. God knows that we have ears, and we are influenced. We are influenced, and what we hear influences our minds and our hearts. It influences what we think. It influences what we do. It influences what we believe, and thereby it influences how we interact with the rest of the world. And God wants to be our teacher. And God wants to be your children's teacher. And as I said before, you don't have to have children in your house to have children in your life. And I'm not talking about just children. I know 30-year-olds that count as children. We have the ability to teach and to lead families made up of people of a much bigger denomination than what we give ourselves credit to. The people we work with, the people we work for, the people who work for us, the people we go to school with, the people in our neighborhood, at the HOA. These are all can be seen as members of our household. And God wants to be their teacher as well. God wants your ears and the ears of your children to be open as he speaks, because that which enters into the ear goes into the heart, and from the heart it goes to the brain and is metastasized into the world by what we do and how we live. These words, I command you today, shall be upon your heart. God desires that you hear. But not just that you hear his word, but that that word might dwell richly within you. That that word dwells richly within your heart and your soul and your mind. That you love God above all things. This commandment to hear and to learn is not just for you, but it's also for your children. Parents are called to not only be hearers of the word, but you are called to be teachers of that word. God gives these commandments to parents. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as signs upon your hands. They shall be as frontlet between your eyes. And you shall write them on the doorpost of your house and in your gates. The church helps with this task. But it's your task. You are your child's best teacher. And they need your time. And they need the family time. You and your children need to be thinking of him and pondering his word. And not just every now and then. Constantly. Morning, evening, in the car, out of the car. At home, when you're out and about. Always keeping that word of God in front of you. I mean, we've really gotten far away from this. I mean, we've wrongly assumed a number of times, and we've been doing this for almost 50 years. We've wrongly assumed that if I've gone to church and brought my kids to Sunday school, I've done my bit. Right? Check that box off. We went to church this week. Woohoo! I went to Sunday school. Bonus points. gold star, not silver, gold, right? Instead of constantly meditating on the Word of God, learning, marking, inwardly digesting on a daily basis. Because there's so much more out there that we hear. There was a time in my life, my oldest daughter Nicole, who's off at college now, but there was a time in our life when she spent more time working on her piano than she did working on the Word of God. And she's a rotten pianist. Now, if she's a rotten pianist and she spends 2.5 hours on it every 3 or 4 days, what kind of a theologian do you think she's going to be? Hopefully we got that fixed after a while, but we shall see. Freshman year has just begun. But there are times when we won't even allow God that couple of hours on Sunday and Sunday alone. We might go to church and not go to Sunday school, or we might go to Sunday school and skip church. And then only when we feel like it. That's kind of a scary thought too, isn't it? Only when we feel like it? I mean, I do dishes at my house, don't get me wrong. I only do them when I feel like it. Because I find the process distasteful. And my kids pick that up. Guess what? They don't like doing dishes either. It's not like we all argue about who gets to do the dishes tonight. Nobody wants to do the dishes. I pay Richard to do the dishes. And by do the dishes, I mean unload the dishwasher. Children are also taught and learn the Word of God only because it's for the young people. And that too is wrong. This is what happens when we drop them off. If we come to Sunday school, we drop the kids off to Sunday school, then we either go home or go to Starbucks. What do we teach them through there? That Sunday school is only for young people. It's only for the little kids. And as soon as you grow up, you don't have to mess with them. I mean, I do that with my daughter, Lauren. I don't bring her to Sunday school and drop her off. But my youngest daughter, Lauren, she takes the violin. So I drop her off at her violin lesson. I don't stay for the violin lesson. Mm-mm. I drop her off. I wave. I make sure she goes in the house and I drive away. Because I don't care anything about the violin lessons. I don't care if she's good at the violin or not. It doesn't make any difference to me. That's her thing. If she wants to play the violin, I'm all for it. I'm really glad we've gotten out of the murdering cat stage of the violin. Sounds like there's something dying up there. But now it actually sounds like music, which is better. But if she doesn't want to do violin anymore, I'll go, forget it, quit it, don't do it. I don't want to spend the money on the lessons anyway, right? Is that the message we want to send about Sunday school? That it's something that's okay to do if you feel like it? It's not okay if you don't want to do it anymore? Forget it. Who cares? Luke chapter 18, parents were bringing their kids to Jesus, and the disciples were rebuking them, going, get these kids out of here. We don't need them around here. And the disciples were wrong in their assumption that they were unworthy to hear Jesus' words. And then Jesus rebukes the disciples. Bring those kids unto me. Let the children come, and do not hinder them, for such belongs to the kingdom of God. That Greek verbiage here in this lesson is suffer. I love that. Suffer the children. All the parents are like, yeah, I get that. I get it now. We suffer the children to be in our midst. This is why our children are always supposed to be in worship. And our parents are always supposed to be in Bible class. I'm going to turn that around. Suffer the adults in Bible class. By keeping kids in the Word of God. And if we try to keep them away from it, we set a poor example. Not only as a church, but also as a family as well. By not availing ourselves of regularly studying the Word of God. By not teaching the children the Word of God at home. By not learning the Scriptures for ourselves. By not meditating on that Word of God ourselves, our children should see us with our Bibles. and not just picking them up so that we can be seen. I think it has a lot to say for our children if they see us reading our Bibles and studying our Bibles, because it's good for us, because God is learning and teaching us, and they just see that. God doesn't command us to take children to the Lord's house for an hour or two and then be done with it. Say, well, my task as a parent's finished. I'll cross that off my list. God commands you to hear and to learn His Word. God commands parents to teach that Word to their children diligently. He gives these commands not to burden your already busy life. I mean, I know we're all busy. We got lots of things to do. We got lots of places to go. We got commutes. You got to make dinner. Somebody's got to do the dishes. Sometimes you pay a teenager. But God's Word is much different from any other Word, because when anybody teaches you something, you're going to gain wisdom and you're going to gain knowledge. But the Word of God is bigger than that. You see, the Word of God is performative. The Word of God does what it says it's going to do. So when you're learning the Word of God, you're not just learning wisdom. You're not just learning understanding. You are actually participating in all the blessings that God has for us. You're gaining knowledge and information, but you're also gaining what the Word is there for. God's Word does what it says. When He teaches you, you're not just learning, you're also receiving gifts and blessings. Where the Word of God is heard, where the Word of God is read, where the Word of God is studied and meditated on, where the Holy Spirit is working mightily to enliven your hearts and minds with that gospel, and in that Word, the Holy Spirit is making that forgiveness of sins ready for you. It is delivering to you the benefits of Christ's death and resurrection. In that Word, the Holy Spirit is strengthening your faith. When you read it, when you hear it, you're not just learning the truth. Christ's forgiveness is actually being given to you. You're not just learning truth, but God is giving you faith. God is giving you forgiveness. God is giving you life. God is giving you salvation. God is giving you strength. God is giving you comfort. It's much more than just knowledge. And since these great blessings are given every time you hear and read and meditate on the Word of God, we should not ever be tempted to think, well, that's just Bible study and I already know all those stories. It's not about knowing the story. It's about receiving the gift. We should never be tempted to think, well, I'm confirmed. You know, I know everything that the church teaches. Or I'm justified by faith, not by Bible study attendance. That's my favorite one. That's the one I used in high school. My parents couldn't figure out a way around it. They didn't ask anybody. I was like, Mom, I'm forgiven by faith in Jesus. I don't have to go to Bible class anymore. Her answer was, go to Bible class. That worked, because she got her shoe out. Scriptures aren't just giving you knowledge. Through the study of Scripture, the Holy Spirit is sculpting your life. Through the study of Scripture, God is giving you the Holy Spirit. Through the study of Scripture, Jesus is inviting you to come to Him, to learn from Him. And by doing so, He promises that you will receive that which has been promised, which is rest for your soul. Jesus teaches us that abiding in His Word keeps us connected to Him. Just like branches are joined to a vine, then in the study of Scripture, we're fed, we're nourished, we're strengthened. These are the gifts that God desires to give us. These are the blessings that God desires to impart within us. These great gifts and blessings are for you and for your children. Thus, Jesus rebukes the disciples when they try to chase these kids away. On his Pentecost sermon, Peter makes it clear that the gifts and the promises of God are for all people, young and old, because the promises are for you and your children, Acts chapter 2, verse 39. The gifts and the blessing that God gives us in word and spirit are gifts and blessings that we need. We need them. Because the devil is constantly tempting us away from the Lord. We are plagued with all kinds of suffering. We are plagued with all kinds of sorrow. We are plagued with all kinds of trouble and trials. We live in a fallen world and we sin every single day. And we need that forgiveness. We need that forgiveness every day. We need that cleansing every day. I think partly this is what's wrong with Mondays. Everybody thinks Monday's such a bad day because we're going back to work. I don't think it's got anything to do with work. I think it's that we're saturated in the forgiveness and love of God on Sunday, and then Monday we know that we begin our fast of the Word of God. And we begin to dry out and we're parched. And by Wednesday we're miserable. By Friday we're like, just get me to something. And our text, Jesus issues a warning to the Israelites. He tells them as they're going to the promised land, he says that you will be tempted once you live in the land of abundance to forget me. And don't we live in a land of abundance? We're tempted in that very same way. For we are abundantly blessed. We look at our super busy schedules and think, how can I add anything else to our schedule? But that super busy schedule is a testament to the boundless blessings that God has already poured out upon us. For this reason, God commands us to teach the Word of God to our children. And to be diligent in it. This word diligent is from the Hebrew word shanam. And shanam is usually used in reference to the sharpening of a blade. You know how you sharpen a blade in the Old Testament day? You take a knife and a rock. And you run your blade across that rock. Again and again and again and again. And you just keep going at it. Until it's sharp on one side. And then you start over on the other side, rubbing that blade against that rock. Not only do you have to keep your blade sharp, you got to keep mama's blade sharp, you got to keep the kid's blade sharp. It's sort of a non-stop. It's a diligent action that just continues through every day of your life. Because we need that sharpening of the spirit. We need that dedication. We need that diligence. That verb is described the sharpening of a blade, and through the Word of God we are sharpened. And we need to be sharpened. Sharpened by the Word and able to discern the difference between truth and lies. We're able to withstand the attacks of the evil one. We're able to wield the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. This morning, through God's Word, God gives us all that we need. He personally delivers unto you the gifts of the forgiveness of your sins. He strengthens you for the trials and the tribulations and the troubles to come. He has empowered you to abound in good works that glorify God, to serve our neighbor. Every person, young or old, has a teacher. Everybody has somebody that they respect. Everybody has someone that they're learning from. Everybody has someone that they're listening to. Someone that they give their time to. Someone that they give their attention to. Someone they give their affection to. Somebody is seeking to imitate. Somebody that you're trying to act like and sound like. And there is no end to the people who want to seek to be your teachers. You go on YouTube. They say, click to subscribe, right? They want to be your teacher. But God wants to be your teacher as well. And the teacher of your children. And there is no better teacher. Because there is no one who knows the human condition like God. He knows all things. And when He teaches you, He not only imparts knowledge to you, but by His Word, His words do what they say. He's given you great gifts and blessings. Gifts and blessings for our daily life that we need. when you sit in your house, and when you walk on your way, and when you lie down, and when you get up. We need the blessings of life and salvation given to us in God's Word every day. In Jesus' name, amen.